Would you guys like to discuss the movies that we talked about on the podcast, recommend movies for future episodes, or maybe even watch movies with us? Check out the Discord.
You can find the Discord on the latest episodes or on the website, theotherhalfpodcast.com. We're just hanging out chatting.
And while you're there, maybe also check out the second of the Discord, which is specifically for Ethan's streams on Twitch. You get updates as to when he goes live. Just keep up to date with us, with Ethan, the podcast, and the stream.
It's also totally okay if you just want to hang out and talk about the podcast. You could hang out there and maybe we'll see you there and watch a movie or something.
Or maybe you're like, wow, these streams are so much better, and you just totally ignore the podcast. That's also another option.
That could happen.
Why not?
The Discord is your oyster. Come join us.
The Discord is your oyster. Join it.
Hey, I'm Ethan.
Hey, I'm Mike.
I watched the first half of Priscilla.
I watched the second half of Priscilla.
And this is the other half. You ain't nothing but a hound dog. It's the wrong song to use for this movie. It does not fit the vibe. Although,
no,
one
it is
might
not.
Say... Elvis is a bit of a hound dog.
He was quite a hound dog. Yeah, that's true.
Quite a bit of a hound
dog.
Because
he ain't never caught a rabbit, and he ain't no friend of mine. He was hardly a friend to Priscilla, let me tell you.
Oh, yeah, hardly a friend. Boy, so we are big fans of the Baz Luhrmann Elvis movie.
We saw it a lot when it came out.
It is a goofy, fun take. This is not a goofy, fun take on the Elvis legacy, I would say.
No, I'm pretty sure the Elvis estate like highly contested this film and tried not to get people to watch it.
Sure, because it does not paint him in the best light. And you know what, though?
Yeah.
This movie rips, dude.
Oh, it's so good.
It's so good.
It's really good.
I
remember when the movie first, before it came out, the first trailer, everyone was like, I can't believe they're making a movie about the relationship between this young girl and Elvis, and they're romanticizing it and they're going to sexualize her. And I was just like, do you guys know who Sofia Coppola
is?
Yeah,
I know, right?
Do you know what kinds of movies that she makes?
No. It's definitely not that. It is absolutely
not at all.
Very grounded and very damning of kind of their relationship. But the thing is the brilliant thing about this movie is it's so easy to picture yourself in her shoes as like freshman, sophomore in high school.
Yeah, in high school. Yeah.
And having like the biggest celebrity come down and be like, hey, what's up? I'm interested in you. And it just be like absolutely feeling special and elated while also not really realizing what you're giving up or anything because you don't have the emotional maturity for anything. And I think this is a fascinating story and study of that.
It does a good job too of showing like obviously one, the power dynamic.
Absolutely.
Here. Like he was obviously older. He obviously was very successful and famous and rich. But then the other thing they keep doing very subtly is showing like also he's very volatile. Like he was into guns. He, you know, was very quick to anger. Like he was bad at communication and explaining himself and being open and honest and, you know, it's like he obviously had his problems.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's that's obviously true. He obviously was taken advantage of by other people. Like I was watching this movie with my wife and she was just like, why do you think he's even interested in her? Like why even marry her? And it's like, I feel like what the movie's trying to show, I think, is like he probably felt kicked around. He probably felt like he was being taken advantage of. And the best way of feeling any kind of power or control is by finding someone that he could control and take advantage.
It's definitely like trickle down abuse, right? Like it's just 100%. I need to find someone that I could rely on to help me through this time as I'm getting batted around and kind of just the hells of show business and
the colonel,
which is he in your half at all? Do you see him ever?
I
was waiting.
We hear about him a lot, but we never see him. And I was so upset.
Such a bummer.
I know. I that was the other thing is, like, I remember when I first saw Elvis, one, I never thought it was going to get nominated for Best Picture.
No.
I was like, there's no fucking way. And I remember I reviewed it on Letterboxd and I was like, this movie is like candy. It's like very yummy, but it's very bad for you. It's really trying to convey.
I went back to that candy,
like,
multiple times, baby. And let me tell you, my teeth are rotten.
Because it is really, because like Priscilla's fucking barely in that movie. I think she's in it twice.
Yeah.
And it's like, and it's one thing I really love about this movie too.
Is Priscilla's in it because it's named after her?
It's that too, but the casting is like perfect because like he towers over her. They picked the tiniest girl and the tallest man, and it really is just like she is a little child. She is a child next to him.
I'm trying to find the actor's name. Kaylee Spaney.
Jacob Orlick.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Kaylee Spaney is from. She was in Civil War, and she's been in a couple other like.
She was in that Alien movie too.
Yeah, the latest Romulus movie. But she's really good, and I think she's they did a really good job picking someone who's like, you know, she's 26, but she's supposed to be playing someone who's like freshman in high school, and they did a great job making her look like that, and that adds to kind of the weirdness of it too, you know, the weird situations in it. Like, as an outside observer, not in the same time period, it shows how like creepy this is, really. Just kind of like the obvious abuse of power and everything. And even just like this, the general age gap. And it's so weird that like people, they sort of address it in the movie a little bit, but they're just like, yeah, whatever. It's Elvis, you know?
Well, I remember when the Elvis movie like came out and I was like, I want to learn a bit more about what people's thoughts are on this, because like they aren't really addressing some of the bigger problems with him, probably because they want to like, you know, they want to romanticize him, you know, and the movie is from the perspective of the colonel, not necessarily Elvis. And it's like, I kept seeing people going like, you know, he was taken advantage of, and he was just a child himself when he got famous and popular and wrote his life away. It's like, sure. But he still had influence and he still had power and he still used that against people who were weaker than him.
I think what's kind of interesting about this movie, though, is that like, as much as I said it was damning to Elvis, you also do see where he's coming from, right? Like, you see that the cycle of abuse is like a trickle-down thing. It's very obvious to see that sort of thing, as opposed to just being like, this guy's a fucking asshole. He's just an awful person.
Totally.
And like, it gives depth to his character as well, while mostly doing through the lens of Priscilla. And it mostly just, you feel bad in the end. You feel bad for this relationship and how it kind of ended up.
Yeah, I think the other thing that's also important is, like, one thing I really like about the actor, Kaylee Spaney, is that her name?
I believe so, yeah. I don't know if that's how you pronounce it, but I think that's it.
She does a really good job of portraying this young girl who is, like, innocent but not stupid. I think that's one thing I really like about this performance is she's playing someone who's, like, you know, naive a little bit and, like, sort of enjoying, like, the amount of, you know, popularity and fame that she's able to attain from this, but... She never plays someone who is like, it's not like she's just like, oh, dearie gosh. Like,
no.
You know, she is very subtle. She has very subtle moments of like internal like feeling and depth and anger. And like, you can tell she's just unable to process or like use that anger because she's a child who's being manipulated by this like man, this grown man. Yeah.
Would you also liked Jacob Elordi's?
He rocks. Honestly, I think he's way better at Elvis than the
Kissing
Booth. Kissing Booth.
Kissing Booth 3. Did we ever see Kissing Booth 3? I feel like we didn't. I feel like we just saw 1 and 2.
I can't remember. I can barely remember Kissing Booth 2.
Yeah.
I don't think he's been in anything else, though. I don't think he's played a teenager in any like big popular TV show. I think people mostly know him from Kissing Booth, right?
Yeah, probably. I think so. Yeah. Definitely no other show.
I don't think he's been in...
No.
No other TV show, where he plays a teenager in high school.
No, I don't think so.
But, yeah, he's really good in the Kissing Booth.
I'm excited for him to be, apparently he's going to be Frankenstein's monster in Frankenstein.
Oh, well, he kind of plays a monster.
Tall.
He's really tall, yeah. And no, he's got, like, the face of, like, Elvis, like, in certain, like, like when he's, like, not looking directly at the
he's
camera.
He's no Austin
like,
Butler.
His, like, whole...
But he's pretty good.
He's way better
you
than
think
Austin
he's,
Butler.
I liked Austin Butler a lot. I think he's really good. I think
he's better.
Wow,
personally,
that's wild. Well, you probably didn't hear about his like grueling experience to try to get this. He didn't lose his, you know, Jacob Elordi didn't have an accent for what like a month
for the rest,
for, of, rest
his
of his career, a Southern accent because of
that. Yeah, exactly. No, because he didn't have to sit with this character for like 4 years during COVID or whatever.
Yeah,
No. I thought he did a good job. I think he was really good. Well, the other thing that I'm really impressed by with this movie compared to Elvis as well is the budget. I don't know if you are aware, but this movie had like a stupid low budget. And they, because it also didn't have the support of like the Elvis estate, it was, I think, only supported by Priscilla's estate, which I think is like important.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they weren't able to shoot in, I guess, correct me if I'm wrong about this, but I'm pretty sure they weren't able to shoot, you know, in Graceland. They weren't able to shoot I'm pretty sure the whole movie was shot in Canada, like on sets that were built.
Not even in the U.S. wasn't even allowed. Yeah.
You can really feel, I think, the budget in moments. But it really does speak to, I think, the power of the filmmaking and the cleverness, the strategic way that it's shot.
Yeah.
Because you were really taken aback by the excellent acting.
Well, I think this movie also creates a really good little bit of tension, too. Like,
100%.
And it's an underlying tension behind like every conversation. Because I think to just the writing and the way Elvis is portrayed, you kind of feel like he could blow up at any moment, like at some point.
Oh, yeah,
right? Because like, and maybe it's just because of like how we're conditioned to know famous people, but he has an underlying heat below him. Like he's just going to boil over at any moment.
Yeah.
But you don't know when that is because he's got he's so good at acting, you know, he's such a good actor, such a good facade that he puts on as a person. I mean, it's not like he's all facade, but like, you know, certain parts of other things he blows up and. But there's always that tension. You're like, when is it going to happen? When is that going to happen?
Well, like I said, like the dude got famous when he was basically a kid himself. Yeah. Like he wasn't very old when he got like really big and popular. And because of that, I think it really stunted. He has arrested development. I think it really stunted his like mental growth. And he always had this idea of like wanting things and not really caring about how he got them. You know, he fucking ate like peanut butter and banana sandwiches for his entire life. You know, like he was really bad about keeping care of himself and all that stuff. So, yeah, it's like. It's sort of like he's just this like big baby who, if he doesn't get what he wants, you feel like he's going to like throw a tantrum basically. Yeah. But, you know, he's not a child. He's a full grown man with like easy access to weaponry.
Yeah.
And, you know.
And drugs.
The power. And drugs. Yeah, exactly. So, yeah.
Anyway, so let's get into the movie. So the movie starts off with, you know, a pink shag carpet, some music going, and she's getting kind of like a suit up moment where she's getting ready to go out, but you never see her.
It's like Iron Man.
It's like
Iron Man
when he comes out of the cave and you're like, oh shit. Yeah. But he never comes out of the cave. He stays in the cave.
Right.
Priscilla's in her cave, which has pink shag carpet.
Okay.
And then we cut to 1959 US Air Force base in, I believe stationed near Germany. And Priscilla's there. She's at like a diner. That's quintessential, like 50s diner. And she, you know, she's just hanging out there drinking a milkshake or whatever you do in the 50s. And then Terry West shows up. I don't know if he ever comes in playing your hat. Probably not.
What does he look like?
He just looks like a military guy. He doesn't. Okay. He has like a normal crew cut, very straight laced, white dude. I don't know. Okay. Terry West, he's there. He says, I booked the entertainment on this base. What's your name? And she's like, oh, it's Priscilla. He's like, is your family stationed here? She's like, yeah, my dad transferred here in August. And he's like, do you like Elvis Presley? She's like, yeah, of course I like Elvis Presley. And he says, well, he's playing here soon and he loves seeing people from back home. So I wanted to know if you wanted to visit him. She's like, I got to ask my parents. And she goes and talks to her parents and they're like, no, you can't go. We don't know who these people are. They just come and talk to you. Like, I don't know who they are. You're not going to go. Priscilla's sad because, you know, it's like a map.
She likes Elvis Presley.
She likes Elvis Presley. Like, imagine if you were a little kid and, like, Sabrina Carpenter comes and shows up and is like, you want to get...
Imagine you're a little boy and you're like, my biggest musical hero is Michael Jackson. Oh. And it's like, he's coming into town and it's like, Mom, Dad, I wanna go watch Michael Jackson in concert. Some guy came up and said that he was coming in concert and he wants me to go visit him. And
I was doing
like,
I was doing a fun fake, like, Sabrina Carpenter's a big pop star now, man. People will be happy. And then it's like, no, you're right. You actually picked a real world thing that's much worse somehow.
The parents are like, no, you're not allowed to go.
But then what if Michael Jackson's agent from the military comes in and goes and talks to your dad and is like, hey, we're gonna chaperone your son the whole time.
Don't worry.
It's gonna be great. Don't worry. And then they're like, oh, okay, that's fine. You can go.
I'm sure Michael will be great.
Yeah, I'm sure it'll be fine. So she you know, that actually happens in the movie. She of course now has permission to go. She puts on a cute little dress that she's happy with. And then she gets taken over there by Terry West and his wife. They meet Elvis's dad. She walks in and sees Elvis being a bad
Vernon,
yeah. She walks in and sees Elvis smoking, being a bad boy, you know. He's all
what a cool dude.
And she's there looking really out of place, very young. And he's like, oh, would you like to have a seat? And she, this is where I noticed the size discrepancy. She is so tiny compared to him.
Yep.
It's also a Sabrina Carpenter thing. So
yeah, that's true.
So he's like, how old are you? And it's like, you know, are you junior, senior, or something like that? And she's like, oh, I'm in ninth. He's like, wait, what? Ninth? Oh, you're just a baby. So then he just starts talk a little bit, and then he just gets on the piano and starts jamming, and he puts on like his Elvis voice and all that. His Elvis singing voice, I guess.
Sure.
And then she,
this is how I usually sound.
That's basically what it feels like. She goes to class. She's happy. She's learning about the food pyramid, and it's just such a juxtaposition of like very adult place. People are smoking, drinking. And she's just like, she's there. And then she's like, I'm so happy. I got to go to the adult thing. I'm learning about the food pyramid. And then
she can't relate to what these guys are talking
exactly.
about.
Exactly. So then Elvis tells Terry that, you know, calls her up again. Is like, hey, you want to come back on this Friday? And she's like, oh, I don't know. My parents won't let me. I was out pretty late last time. He's like, you want me to ask your dad? And she's like, they're not going to let me go. And he's like, I'll talk to them. And then, hey, she's able to go again.
He always gets what he wants. He's got influence.
She arrives again at his home. She meets Grandma Dodger. Did you meet Grandma Dodger?
No. I don't meet a lot of people in my half of the movie, really.
That's fair. This is Grandma Dodger. Elvis explains, when I was a kid, I hit a ball straight at her, and she dodged it, so I always called her Dodger. And I'm like, that sounds kind of shitty, but... why were you hitting balls at her, huh?
Yeah.
He didn't say I accidentally hit a ball. He was just like, I hit a ball at her.
I hit it right at her and she dodged it.
Like, okay. So then he's like, so what do the kids back home listen to these days? And she's like, oh, you know, Bobby Darin and you know, you of course. And he's like, the kids still like it, huh?
Oh god.
What do you say we go somewhere more quiet, like my room? I'm not going to harm you or anything. I'm like, oh, okay. She's like, oh, yeah. He's like, I just want to talk to you in a more quiet place. It's so noisy down here, and I just miss people from back home. She's like, okay. Mm-hmm. So they go up. She goes up there, and he's not there yet. He's going to meet her later, and she starts like reading and looking at all this fan mail that he's getting with like kiss marks on the paper and everything. And then she really just starts looking at his room, and it's very modest, you know. I mean, this is not his real house. This is a place he's staying while he's serving his time in the military.
Right, in the military, yeah.
Just like all our favorite K-pop idols. And he arrives and is like, hey, it's just so nice to talk to someone back home. And he's like just sitting there. He's just like, I wish my mama could have met you. I hate my new mom. I don't know how I'm going to go back to Graceland without my mom. That's the home I bought her. But yeah, she died.
Yes, I remember that scene. I remember that scene in Elvis.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. He's like, I miss home, and you remind me a lot of it. And then he like, she's basically said like almost nothing except for like, oh, it's very nice. I would have liked to meet her too. You know, just like yeah. And he's like,
sure.
And then he gives her a kiss, and then he's like, time for Mike's making a face. He says, it's time for you to go home, little one. It's time for you to go home.
Oh God!
It's like, ugh. This wasn't like a kiss like on the head or anything. This was like a regular
I can imagine what this kiss was probably going to be, yeah.
Just wanted to make sure. It's for the audience, too.
Sure.
So they're like, you can't keep going out because he, of course, wants it back. And
parents
say you can't keep going out. All right, now I need to talk to this guy. I've got to figure out what his angle is. So he comes, and Elvis stops by her house and like talks to the dad. And the dad's like, what's your angle here? Elvis, you can get any woman you want. What's so interesting about my daughter?
My underage daughter.
They never mentioned that. And he says, oh, she's very mature for her age, and she reminds me of home. And he's like, all right, that's cool, I guess. You can go hang out still. So they go to movies, and you know, he says he's going to be chaperone the whole time. Never is, though. Never is. They're never chaperone.
Interesting.
So they go see a movie together. He's watching the film. They're holding hands. He starts quoting them. He clearly is like really into movies.
He's a big movie buff.
He starts driving home. They're taking her home, and he says like, oh, you got to see On the Waterfront. There's no one else like him. That's the actor I want to be.
Marlon Brando.
I heard you're getting tired, though. Here's a pill. They give it to us during night maneuvers to stay awake. You can use it to stay awake during class. And I'm like, all right. Give some kids some drugs.
I don't think she needs to stay awake in class that bad.
Yeah, I know, right? Like, could she just have a little coffee or something? Not like whatever these drugs are that are given to them.
Uppers.
I guess they're approved by the military. So how bad could they be? The government's never
probably given
military personnel weird drugs to make them fight better or anything.
Yeah, no. I'm sure giving drugs to military personnel men are probably the same kind of drugs you can give to a girl in ninth grade.
Yeah, absolutely. Sure.
Yeah.
So it's Christmas time. She gives her a present of a nice watch for Christmas. She says she confides in him, like, when you go home, I'm afraid you'll forget me, you know, and everything's been very quiet. You know, this is the military base. There's no, like, fans
around.
There's
no hanky panky.
Well, that too. Oh. I was going to say, there's no one, like, really being like, oh my God, it's Elvis. It's just kind of quiet.
Right. Storming him.
And so then we cut to her actually in the back seat. He's leaving. And he says, you know, write me letters all the time. I'll miss you. And you're like, do it in your pink parchment paper. Here, you can have my coat. I don't want to see a sad face when I leave. And then they pull up to where the airplane is, take him home. And all these people, up until now, it's been really quiet. All these people swarm him. And she's kind of caught in the middle of it. Just not even really being shown, like, they're together, but not really. Like, doesn't seem to be a place where anyone's, like, really noticing her. And it's just really crowded and chaotic, and he says, I'll see you later. And he leaves, and now she's sad. Montage of her reading about Elvis in magazines, seeing that he's with all these other ladies in photo shoots and stuff. She has a brother that appears, never says a damn word. I guess they're just like, oh, we gotta make
never
sure
see him in my half
never
either.
See that kid. Now it's 1962, so about, was it two, three years have passed. And 3 years. And she's still a big fan, still sending him letters. And her mom's like, maybe it's time to forget about him. He's probably with someone his own age. Hopefully.
Yeah.
That night, she gets a call from Elvis, actually, after all this waiting of not hearing anything back
three years.
And she's like, oh, I thought you forgot about me. He's like, nah, baby. Things just got a little crazy after I got back. Anyway, you want to fly over to Memphis? Well, with a chaperone, of course. And he's like, I don't know if I could ever do it. He's like, oh, I'll talk to your parents. It'll be fine. So, of course, they let her. And she arrives to find Grandma Dodger's there.
No chaperone.
No, Grandma Dodger's there. Because I think her dad flew with her. And is like, hey, all right, time to meet everyone. They seem cool. All right. Elvis says, let me get a good look at you. And then he says, meet the guys. Come meet the guys. He's playing pool with everyone. This is Hog Ears.
Yeah.
And this is like Frankie. And I'm just like, man, there's a guy named Hog Ears. What was up with back in the day just having friends with weird fucking names? I feel like I don't know anyone who has that anymore.
That's true. We need to come up with weird names for each other.
Yeah.
Big Mouth. I'll be Big Mouth.
Oh, okay.
What will you be?
Little Jim Jam.
You should give ourselves other. What?
Little Jim Jam.
Okay. Big Mouth and Little Jim Jam.
Yeah, there you go.
Perfect. That's what we're going to do.
I think that's it.
Next time I'm introducing you, I'm like, let me introduce my friend Little Jim Jam.
Hell yeah, I'm Little Jim Jam, motherfucker. And I'm going to talk like that. That's my new personality.
That's your new personality.
But if you just call me Ethan, I'm going to talk normally like this.
This is probably, the reason he's doing this is because he didn't actually want to bother to learn any of their names, right? He's probably just calling them this.
I don't know.
Because he doesn't want to learn their real names.
I feel like there was, I don't know. I'm just thinking about my parents when they were talking about their younger days. They would have like kids with weird names. They'd be like, oh, this guy with a weird name. His name wasn't actually that, but we called him that. Like, I felt like nicknames were more prevalent.
Called him Fathead or whatever.
But you know what? I think almost like, I feel like what's replaced that is like gamer tags in a weird way. Or like internet personas, right? Like,
yeah, internet personas. Like honeybees.
Yeah, exactly.
That
kind of replaces them, right? I guess that's what we have.
Yeah.
So I'd like to imagine Hog Ears sitting there playing some Call of Duty with Elvis, you know.
Maybe it was back in the day, it was like, you know, when like they were on radio stations, like ham radio sets. Like, this is like, hey,
call sign.
This is Hog Ears coming in.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to think of like the alternative, like analog, you know, comparison to like what was the gamer tag back in the day? What was the username?
That's probably it. I think you're right. It's call signs. I think radio. I think also the military also probably, you know, there was a lot.
This is Hog Ears.
Drafts and stuff like that back in the day. So, you know, more people were exposed to the military back then. Actual military, not Call of Duty. So yeah, so he meets a bunch of people. She meets some ladies that are there, talking to people, and he's like, "Are you tired?" And he's like, "Yeah, a little bit." And he's like, "Why don't you go upstairs? I'll meet you up there." And so she goes upstairs to his bedroom, and the other women are at the party comment. She's like, "Wow, she's young. Like a little girl." That's kind of weird. Well, I guess that's Elvis. Anyway, so she's in the room. And
anyway.
She's looking at his room, and his room is fucking crazy. Way different from what it was in Germany or wherever, near Germany. It's got tiger statues and Jesus statues and all sorts of things in there. Crazy wallpaper. Everything is like leather, like that leather. What's the leather that has like the little, it's kind of like buttoned to the back of like chairs and stuff like that. Does that have a specific name?
I mean, you're talking to the wrong guy.
All right, that's fair. It has those types of leathers. And he says, he finally comes up, meets her. He's like, "I haven't got you out of my head since Germany." She lays on the bed, and they get macking. And he says, "Can't let things get out of hand. Just not yet. Here, take one of these pills. It'll help you sleep after your trip." And
Jesus fucking Christ, dude.
And so she wakes up, and you hear Grandma Dodger being like, "What did you give this woman? Giving her something she's not used to. She's been sleeping for so long." And he's like, "I'm sorry. Yeah. I shouldn't have done that." And he's like, hey, baby, you've been out for 2 days, and I can't believe I gave you 500 milligrams of Placidil, which is something called Jelly Bellies. I looked it up. I don't know what it is. Placidil? I don't know. Sleep for two Yikes. Days. Anyway.
Yikes.
Basically, the Benzies, old school. The original ones before they got replaced. So he's like, "Sorry, I forgot. I wasn't thinking it." And she's so upset. She's like, "It took 2 days off our trip. I don't get 2 days with you." He's like, "Nah, that's fine. How about we just go to Vegas? You want to go to Vegas?" Then they go to Vegas.
Viva Las Vegas.
They're smoking, gambling. She's drinking. Not sure how she's getting drinks, but you know, it's Vegas back then, so whatever.
He's Elvis. He can get her fucking drinks.
That's true. She's
It's also Vegas. It was old Vegas. True. Like run by the mob.
You're right. Vegas. You're right. She starts they're passing out pills. She takes some pills. And then eventually, you know, after this long montage, she says, like, "Hate to say it, but our time is up." She's like, "No, I don't want to go back. Like, you got to let me tell him I missed my flight." And he's like, "That'll be so obvious. You can't do that. You got to go back home." And she's like, "All right." So she arrives home, and her makeup is just completely messed up because she's been crying. She's a huge mess. She's like, "What? I don't want to be back home. This sucks." So then they start talking with her parents. She says, "Why can't you find someone your own age? You're only 17. You haven't even graduated high school yet." She's like, "I only have a few more credits left to graduate." And immediately she's already planning her next trip over there. He calls again, says all these reassuring things like, "Oh, baby, it'll be okay. We'll get you back over here soon." Parents are arguing downstairs about what to do because it's like you have this super rich celebrity like trying to get with your daughter, and it's just like, is she gonna get hurt? And they're like, "I don't know, but if we do not let her go again, she'll hate us forever." And they're like, "But she's got to finish school." So they come to like a compromise where she gets sent over, but she has to go to school over there,
right?
But
it's like a school run by nuns or whatever.
Yes,
think, right?
Exactly.
It's like a girls' school.
Yeah. So she arrives there, and actually Elvis isn't done shooting the picture. He's out filming something. And so she's just kind of left alone in the house to wait. And I think this is such a good this is where the movie really starts to get really like interesting as a character study of kind of the relationship, because she arrives to this empty house and just kind of like exists to wait for him. She, you know, meets some of the other girls at the office who run the office for him. And they're very nice. They're like, "Hey, yeah, Elvis left you a gift on the back patio. And it's a little shitty white dog, you know, like the shitty white dog, like classic, right? You know, shitty white dog.
Shitty white dog.
You know, shitty.
Is it alive?
No, it's alive. It's a living dog. But you've seen little shitty white dogs before, right? You know, you're not familiar with the crusty white dogs, the white dogs that get real crusty.
It's
one of those shitty white dogs.
I thought you meant like a toy or something.
No, it's a dog.
I don't know what you meant by a shitty
white dog.
Okay. Got a shitty white
dog. I'm alienating all our shitty white dog listeners, but that's okay.
That's fine. I don't think any white dogs listen to this. Speaking of which, look, my little black dog is sitting in my lap. Right,
your little black dogs are. See, he's a listener. He's not a shitty white dog.
Shitty white dog? What's going on over here?
Elvis calls her and then says, "I'll be a little longer on the shoot and I'll be right over." She goes to now Catholic school, like you said, with taught by nuns. And her dad, or Elvis's dad's like, no friends, come over to Graceland. I'm like, okay, that's kind of a weird thing to say. When you're like first day dropped off at school, it's like, nope, don't make friends. They're not going to come over to Graceland. Yeah. So then
they can't come to the house that you're living in.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Really, it's just a very controlling environment. Like, I got only Elvis can do what he wants, and our family runs this place. You're just here as a guest.
Well, this is the thing I think, because you've been pointing out a lot of important, like the change in his room, right? The different objects that is in there. And I feel like he and really the rest of the Presley family are seeing her as an object to be attained and kept as well, right? She's not actually seen as a human being. You know, she's really just sort of like a thing that is in the house now, you know?
So she's playing with the dog in front in Graceland, but at the front. And Elvis's stepmom drives up and is like, you better not make a display of yourself, because there's always kind of like girls outside, like looking in Graceland. They see
by the gate.
Yeah, and they see her. And she's like, oh, I didn't think. And she's like, well, you better start thinking. And then she's just kind of hanging out in the house. So it's like she can't even go outside anymore now.
Oh, my God.
So she's doing, or at least in the front. She's doing her homework, painting her nails. Elvis calls, is complaining about filming in Hollywood.
He's always fucking whining at
her.
He
always is.
How much he hates being in movies.
Yeah, pretty much.
It's like, bro?
He's like, this director's like, I'm telling the director, like, I've been in the Smoky Mountains, and you can't fake the Smoky Mountains with all these palm trees and stuff. It's ridiculous. She's like, uh-huh, okay. Yeah. But yeah, he just calls her up to complain. That's kind of it.
Yeah.
And then she's like, oh, well, so after school, I don't really have a lot to do. So, like, I saw a boutique was, like, having a part-time job opening for me or for anyone. And I thought it'd be kind of cool to apply, like, a few days after school. And there's a pregnant pause. And he just says, nah, you can forget about all that. It's either career or me. I need you on standby if I ever need you to call me, if I ever need to call you. And at this point, I'm just like, okay.
See, there you go.
That's it. He needs that control.
She's an object.
Yep, he needs that control.
Yeah, exactly.
So he's talking to everybody at dinner, but she's bored and doesn't really connect with anyone, even though, like, he's the center of attention. Clearly, everyone's talking about, like, politics and, you know, all these jokes about celebrities
philosophy
and stuff. And she's just like, okay, cool. I'm just kind of here because I like this guy. Very out of place.
Right. She's literally a high schooler.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And then they start going up to bed. They're making out. And he's like, baby, don't get carried away. She seems really ready to want to do it, to have sex. And he says,
oh, I was like, what is this carried away about?
Carried away about having sex. He says, I got to make the decision. And then she says, this is the first time she ever kind of like really kind of like pushes back. He says, like, what about Anita? I don't know who Anita is personally, but. He says, that was different. She was older. It's not right. What about how I feel about you? It doesn't matter. We can't do things like this. We can do other things. And then I don't know what that is, but you could take it from context clues. Audience, I think you're smart enough to know what other things are.
I'm not smart enough. What does it mean?
Anyway, they go shopping, and he has he has all his friends come out because he kind of just, like, buys her dresses, and she basically shopping for her. And and they all compliment how good she looks, and she's just basically putting on a little fashion show. And she's just like, I think these clothes are a little too sophisticated for me. And he's like, well, it's sophisticated. You look really nice and all that. He's like, let's choose. She comes out with one. He's like, I really like this one. He's like, nah, those prints, they're terrible. They take away from your beauty. I hate it. Put it back. Also, you need a little makeup. I think you need to dye your hair.
Yeah. Like he does.
Yeah, get some black hair. I think that'll look really good. Make your eyes stand out more. Also, I never wear brown clothes. I hate brown. It reminds me of the army. And I'm like, that's kind of sad because, like, at the army, you're supposed to have met the person you love also. So I feel like there might be some kind of, like, you know, first moment happiness associated with the army a little bit, but I don't know, maybe not. Maybe I'm wrong.
Well, it's also very clear, and this is something that, again, I think, like, Sofia Coppola has done a very good job of associating humans with objects and, like, how it feels like Elvis is really only seeing her as like a toy to play with. And in this way, he's like dressing her literally like a doll.
Yeah.
Like a doll. Like being like, this is how I want you to dress. This is how the makeup I want you to wear. And like the more that she dresses to his liking, the more it feels like she's not really like a person, like her own person, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's almost like this is the first time she was pushing back, and now he's really asking for drastic changes too, right?
Yeah, exactly.
But maybe that also is just inevitable, right?
Yeah.
So then she starts dyeing her hair immediately next. There's a montage of a big party, and then playing bumper cars and fireworks with her new look. She starts now, she's actually taking his pills. Like he's sleeping, she's sleeping next to him. She starts reaching over, man, grabbing some of his pills.
So just getting used to this.
Yeah,
basically.
This is basically the party life, because she has to wake up the next day and go to school. You know, she's got to start taking those pills to stay awake.
Right.
She brings him food once, makes him food. And he's like, cool, man, I got this for you. And it's like a little girly gun. It's pretty crazy. And she immediately cuts to her shooting it. She's like, this is awesome. Montage. She keeps getting dresses in this montage with guns to go with her dresses. And she's taking more pills in the morning to go keep awake at school. And she comes in one day and she's like, hey, why are you wearing that dress? It sucks. It's terrible. And she gets upset. She's like, well, I'll just fucking take it back then. And he's like, you got to stay away from Prince. And he just starts laughing because like it seriously seems like it hurt her. But he's just like, whatever. Yeah. I'm just telling her what I don't like and, you know, all that.
Yeah, exactly. He's like, I don't know why she's... But it's probably something she chose for herself and he doesn't like it.
Well, it has to be. Otherwise, yeah, exactly. It has to be. Otherwise, he wouldn't have approved it, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And she getting talked to by the nun saying, you got to keep up your grades to graduate. You're slipping. And then she's reassuring her parents, you know, don't worry, I'll graduate. And then that's the end of my half.
So she's in class doing a test. Mm-hmm. And she doesn't know any of the answers. And she sees everyone else is able to do this test very easily. Mm. And it's just like she needs to keep her grades up, it sounds like.
Uh-oh.
How does she do that when she's unable to answer these questions on the test she has been studying?
It's time to cheat, baby.
Yeah. So she leans over to the girl sitting next to her who's doing very well on her test. Or at least doing her test in a confident manner.
Yeah, that's a fair point.
Right? And she leans over to the girl and she's like, hey, do you know who Elvis is? And she goes, yeah. She goes, you want to go to a party of his? I know him. And she goes, yeah. And then she like opens up her test and allows Priscilla to cheat off her.
Oh, dang, using that clout.
In payment for her going to Elvis.
Anyone ever cheat off your tests?
I cheated off tests when I was a kid because I was really bad at math. I don't know if anyone cheated off mine, but I was really fucking good at cheating on tests. Have I ever told you this story?
No.
So when I was in middle school, it was the last like math class in middle school, and I thought we were taking a final. Uh-huh. And so I was taking the test and it was really fucking hard, and I was like cheating off the smartest person in class who was sat like right next to me. Mm. And so I could see their test, and I was like cheating off of them. I'm like, I'm getting a really good grade on this. And then it was revealed that this was not a final. This was a placement test.
Oh shit.
And in high school, I wound up in a class I did not belong in.
Oh, no.
And that's the last time I ever cheated on a test.
Wow. That's a real lesson right there.
Yeah,
I might have cheated a couple times, just like a quick glance, but never anything like really prepared or anything. Just being like, fuck, I don't know this one. What'd they put? All right, I'll fucking put that. But most of the time, people cheated off me, and I'm like, I don't
know. How did you know people were cheating off you? Because
they would look over.
Did you see
them? Yeah, I'd see them looking over. And like I'd be like, oh, that's fine, because I don't know. I'm a very like I look everywhere. I'm always very my eyes actually go in two different directions, like slightly enough to the point where I have to do.
Do they really? I've never
noticed.
Oh,
it's very
you.
Slight, but it's basically I have to do like exercises every day. Not every day, but like once in a while.
You're
to,
like you're like Barbara Streisand.
Yeah, kinda. I always have like seeing just too much, you know. So I'd see people cheating off me. And I was like, dude, I don't know shit. I don't know what you're doing, but like, I'm struggling out here. You're going to really struggle, bud, but all right.
I got real good at cheating too, because I would just cheat off the other person, but then I wouldn't cheat on every question. So I could be like, you know, like plausible deniability. Like, I didn't steal every question.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. That's a good point. You shouldn't do that, right? Otherwise, it's too obvious. No.
Otherwise, it's too obvious. Exactly. You have to get some of the answers, if not wrong, at least have them be different from the other person.
Exactly.
Because otherwise, it's a lot easier to prove that you cheated off this other person, basically.
So what did she do after cheating? What was her next step?
So that was it. And then she's graduating now because she cheated successfully.
Sick.
And she gets a car because she's graduating from what I'm now learning is high school.
Oh, yeah. What did you think? Did you not know her age at this point? What were you thinking?
I knew she was young, but I just didn't know at what point in his career we were jumping in.
That's a good point. Because at this point, she doesn't. Her hair's already dark. She kind of has the look going already.
Right. Exactly. And I wasn't sure how, like, I also wasn't sure how much of the movie was going to take place after the divorce, like after they ended up separating. Mm-hmm. Spoilers, it ends basically at the separation. Like Priscilla, the story of Priscilla is basically the story of Priscilla Presley's, like, time with Elvis.
Yeah, it's basically the relationship.
There's no before and no after. Yeah. So he gets her car because she's graduating, and it's right before the ceremony, and she talks to Elvis and is like, hey, could you not go into the ceremony? Because I feel like you're just going to take a lot of attention away from the people who are graduating. Mm-hmm. Like, people are going to be paying more attention to you than everyone else. But I think it's more like maybe she's also a little embarrassed about, you know, this sort of situation that she's in, basically. It's also attention towards her.
True.
So he's like, yeah. She's like, yeah, of course, honey, I'm not going to go in there. And then later on, he did not go into the ceremony, but he is outside showing off his guns and stuff to a bunch of the nuns that work there and, like, smoking next to them. And they're just like, oh, Elvis, you're so crazy. And it's just, it's him and all of his friends as well. Like,
goon squad.
All the big ears, hog ears, or whatever the fuck his
hog
name
ears.
Is. Yeah, hog ears. And one of the actors is someone that I actually recognize as a Canadian improvised comedian. His name is Dan Byrne.
Okay.
He was in season 2 of Fargo.
Oh.
He's in this really good movie called The 20th Century, which is really, really, really incredible. He's really good in it. He's also in, like, an online, like, a video series called Dad Drives. He's really, really good. And you're just like, holy shit, I know him.
So random.
This is Sean Canada.
Yeah.
He's just one of the entourage, basically. After the ceremony, they get in bed together. And there's this really great montage where they're just sort of in bed constantly. They don't leave the bedroom. They're taking photos of each other. They're taking photos of her dressed in, like, different outfits. Mm-hmm. They don't seem to leave the bedroom. And we just keep seeing people arriving at the bedroom and, like, leaving food for them basically every single day. And that's how you see the passage of time is the amount of food that's brought to them. And it's always, like, milk or soda or peanut butter and banana sandwiches. It's, like, always, like, this junk food that they're eating, basically. And they're just in bed and they're always getting all dressed up and getting, like, Polaroids taken of each other. And it all feels very, like, it's all set to this, like, music, but the minute you see those Polaroids, it just feels immediately, like, real unseemly.
Everything feels off in, like, a weird way. It feels like, but it doesn't at the same time. They did a really good job of mixing kind of the two, like, uneasiness where it's like, something is wrong here. Something's weird.
Something's off. Yeah, exactly. And then they have a little pillow fight, and it's at first I was like, oh, this is like a moment of innocence where, like, they're playing, like, a pillow fight. You know, she's hitting him with her pillow and then he's hitting him with his, and then all of a sudden she tries to, like, win. She tries to, like, overtake him, like, really hitting him with her pillow, like, really getting into the fight, basically, but still having fun. And then he just, like, grabs her and pushes her off the bed. Whoa. And because she's trying to win and he can't allow her to win. He can't allow anyone to take control away.
Classic toxic masculinity.
And so she's hurt and she runs into the bathroom and, like, locks herself in there, and he starts apologizing and he's just like, I don't know my own strength and I don't want you to, you know, I don't want you to win because only men win, this kind of shit. And yeah. And then she opens the door. And again, it's like, because I think in all these scenes, I don't know, maybe it's also because, like, they're in a bedroom and, like, near the bathroom, like the master bathroom. It's like she's so fucking tiny next to him. Like, he's just, like, towering over her, like, in this, like, private area. It's very creepy. And then she's like, I think you need to stop taking those pills. I think those pills are affecting you too much.
Mm.
And at this point, I was like, I wasn't aware how much pill popping he was doing.
Both doing a lot.
But apparently, she's like, I think you're taking too many pills.
He's definitely doing more.
And then he's like, I don't need your opinion. I don't need the opinion of some child. I believe the opinions of my doctors, and they say I'm fine. Which, again, and he keeps doing this thing where it's like he wants them to be in a relationship, or he wants them to feel like they're close. But he's not allowing her to have any kind of power or, like, you know, like, say, you know, like, I feel like if my partner were to say, like, I feel like you have, or you're having an issue or you're having trouble here, I'd be like, thank you for telling me. I understand, you know, mm-hmm. like, you're right or whatever. Like, I would, you know, because it's like, this is an equal partnership. Mm-hmm. Whereas, like, he immediately, like, writes her off. And it's, I don't know, it's very illuminating. Then we hard cut to Elvis and all of his friends just shooting guns
yeah.
and, like, destroying a house. And Priscilla's just, like, watching all this happen. And it's, so again,
she's looking
it's
like she's having fun, or is she just like, oh, I'm here.
She definitely has like a pained smile, but it's, again, it's like all of her friends. These aren't even her friends. Like, these are just people that
these are Elvis's
time
friends.
With.
These are not her.
Yeah,
friends.
Exactly.
She doesn't have any friends of her own. We've never seen a yeah. single friend of her own throughout the whole movie.
He has to go shoot a movie mm-hmm. and it's yet another movie. And she's like, I'm really going to miss you. And it's this really great moment where, like, she clearly wants to, like, go with him, but also I think she's also more nervous because she doesn't trust his friends. Like, clearly his friends are, like, able to, like, influence him and make him into this, like, bad person who, like, destroys buildings and, you know, shoots things.
Yeah.
And it's just not a good influence on him. And he's just like, don't worry, honey, I'm going to be right back. You know, you can't really come out there because it's no place for a little lady like you, like, all that kind of shit.
Oh, yeah.
And so Priscilla has to stay in Graceland, and there's this really sad moment where she's trying to just spend time with people around the house, but then Vernon shows up and is like, you're not allowed to talk to those ladies. They're doing their damn job. You're just distracting them. Get out of here.
Oh,
so she doesn't have anyone
she
to
can't
like
even talk with the office people who are very nice.
Yeah, exactly. She's not able to like talk to the office people even because they're too busy working. And especially when Elvis is not here, I think also she just has a lot less control, of course.
Yeah, absolutely.
So then she's reading the newspaper, and she reads about Elvis and Anne Margaret, who are both appearing in this movie together. She's reading about them in a magazine, and the two of them seem very, very close. And so she calls. He ends up calling just to check in on her, and he's like, sorry, honey, I know I said you could come visit after a while, but things are crazy over here. The director's nuts, and you know, the main girl, and she's a real starlet. She, you know, she puts her job before men, and you know, I don't respect that kind of thing, that kind of stuff.
Okay.
Just complaining, just fucking whining, basically. And Priscilla's just like, so are the two of you getting along? Like, she wants to, she's like, is something going on, basically, because like, she's been reading the news, essentially. And he's acting all cagey. He says he doesn't like her very much. And so Priscilla's like, I want to come out. I want to see you. Like, I really miss you, and I feel like there's something wrong. And he's like, well, the colonel, you know, the colonel's like, he doesn't want anyone knowing about you.
Oh, wonder
like,
why.
Where's that fucking colonel?
Where is he?
He
better show
see
up.
Him. And he never does.
See Tom Hanks in a suit. Come on.
So then there's news now about Elvis and Anne Margaret, and they're engaged. And Priscilla's so upset, and so she flies out there and she goes to talk to him about the rumors.
Oh, wow.
And Elvis grabs her arm and says that he needs a woman who will understand that things like this will happen. Basically,
that he'll get engaged.
That he can fuck around and do whatever he wants, and she just has to accept that and
oof,
be okay with
yikes.
The fact that that is going to happen. Basically, yeah. And because, for one, he's obviously, you know, very powerful in more than one way. He's, you know, able to, like, overpower her physically as well as just, like, financially.
Yeah.
She goes back to Memphis. She escapes. She just goes back to her only home, I guess, at this point. And then Elvis comes home, and he says, honey, it's over between me and Anne. He says, you know, he was exploited, and he started a situation that got out of hand. And he's like, but Priscilla, you're the only girl for me.
Uh-huh.
And she accepts that. But again, this is, I think, and this is the thing that I kind of hate about that Baz Luhrmann Elvis movie, is his first instinct is to always go like, poor me, poor Elvis. Like, I got taken advantage of by Hollywood. I got taken advantage of by the colonel. Mm-hmm. I got taken advantage of by Anne Margaret. And it's like, bro, you weren't taken advantage of by a lot of these. Like, you were clearly taken advantage of by, like, the colonel, obviously. But, like, you had power. You had control. You were, you know, like, you were able
you
to do things.
You liked it deep down.
You enjoyed having some form of, you know, control over certain things, basically.
Yeah.
But he comes home and he immediately starts playing the victim. And we cut to a pool party.
Woo!
It's a big pool party. Yeah, it's being shot on like little film, and you know, and like, Priscilla's shooting it. Everyone's getting thrown in the water. It's this big crazy
so
pool
fun.
Party. Yeah, and then after the pool party, Priscilla finds a note in Elvis's pocket from a girl named Scooby.
Scooby.
Ruh-roh.
Scooby.
Oh, Elvis, I can't wait to bang you again. You know, I like it doggy style.
Give me some of those Scooby snacks in your pocket. Ruh-roh. I make me feel really sleepy.
So it's from Scooby, and it has a little kiss mark on it, and asks when they'll see each other again. And Priscilla sees it and immediately confronts Elvis about it. And Elvis freaks the fuck out and starts screaming to the point where he's blowing out the audio of the soundtrack. Like, he starts blowing out the mic of the soundtrack. It's how loud he is. And he tells Priscilla to pack her things and to leave. And she starts crying, and she starts packing her stuff away and starts crying. And then Elvis is like, "See, you understand, baby? You understand?" And then they embrace, and she just starts crying in his arms. And it's like, what the fuck was that shit about?
Yikes.
Yeah, it didn't feel good. So yeah, all those people that saw the trailer for this movie and was like, I can't believe they're trying to romanticize this relationship.
Nope, not really.
I don't think
all.
That's what this movie's doing, guys. No. Elvis is on the phone complaining about his career with his dad, and he's just like, I feel like nobody understands me. I feel like no one understands. And Priscilla's right outside the door, and it's like, I feel like if there's one person in the world who understands what it's like to be near influence but also be controlled by people, it would be her. Like, you know, it's like it's sort of like he just doesn't want to be understood. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's not like it's like, that's what's so aggravating about this. It's like, if he wanted to be understood, if he wanted to, like, be, you know, emotionally vulnerable, I think that this could be, like, a really beautiful, you know, relationship. But he just is unwilling to do that.
No, he's too stuck in his ways about, like, it's not only, like, he also has a big persona to, like, keep up with, right? Like, he can't ever be shown as weak or anything like that.
Yeah.
You know, he's definitely a man's man, you know, a southern boy. He likes guns and stuff like that. And showing any sort of vulnerability goes absolutely against all of that, you know?
That's true. So Elvis lying in bed, he's upset about the scripts that the colonel's sending him, and he's just eating more food in bed. And then there's a scene where Elvis is listening to music that he wants to cover, and he doesn't like any of it. He's just like, that isn't a good song. I don't like that song. That isn't a good song.
It's so funny that it's like covers too, right? Like, he's not going to write his own music.
That's the fucking thing that I feel like the movie Elvis didn't do, which was showing that Elvis was absolutely just taking music from, like, you know, not very well-known artists and just stealing them, like, just using them, covering them, basically. And he didn't like any of them. He's like, I don't like that one. I don't like that one. And then he's like, Priscilla, what do you think? And Priscilla's like, yeah, I don't think any of this music's any good. I feel like it doesn't really have that spark that you usually have. It's not catchy like the stuff that you usually do. And then Elvis gets so angry, and he picks up a chair and throws it at her.
Oh, my God.
Against the
wall
next to her.
She disagreed with him.
I know! And then he goes up to her, and he's just like, sorry, honey, I got my mom's temper. And he apologizes, and he kisses her.
I love my mama.
She's like, what? I love my mama. The only thing I want more than my mama are my peanut butter and banana sandwich.
My mama made the best, and that's all I eat now.
So then we cut to another scene, and he's preaching the gospel to women, like literally the Bible. He's talking about the Bible to these women who are just like watching him and listening to him and like fawning over him, basically.
Mm.
And they start asking him more like sexual questions, like was Mary really a virgin? And like basically just trying to like make the Bible dirty.
Okay.
And putting Elvis in a position where he has to start answering very sexual questions. And Priscilla, who's in the room, is not comfortable with this at all because Elvis is very much playing into their advances right in front of her.
Oh.
And so she ends up getting up and leaving because she can't stand this sort of atmosphere. And then when she comes back, she meets this dude who says he's like this spiritual like dude who I guess works in Hollywood as like a hairstylist.
Okay.
And he says Elvis is special and he's like godlike. He's like, all men are like drops in the ocean, but you are not Elvis. You are different. You're important. And of course, Elvis loves hearing
you're
this
like
shit.
Seaweed in the ocean. Annoying.
Yeah.
Stick it everywhere.
you're like a fucking whale. And so he gives Elvis LSD, and Elvis and Priscilla end up dropping LSD.
Cool.
And while they're tripping, Elvis asks Priscilla, he's like, why do you think I've been gifted with so much influence and power and all these people who care about me? Like, why do you think that's happened to me? Why me?
Yeah.
And so he's reading about, like, you know, philosophy, and he's reading about like Eastern mystic philosophy and like, you know, like yoga
like when
philosophy.
The Beatles
like
went
just
to India.
Basically that kind of shit. Yeah, he's reading all this kind of shit in bed. and trying to understand his importance to everything, but also, like, again, he's trying to, like, make all this stuff related to him. Like, how does this all relate to me? How is it important to me? How does it make me feel important? So he's reading about all this, and she doesn't understand. She's like, I don't care about any of this. And he says, if this relationship is ever going to work, you have to share my interest in philosophies. And again, it's like he's unwilling to learn any of hers. He doesn't want to learn any of hers. It's like a relationship is the meeting of two people who are different, but like share a lot of commonalities. And it's like,
I will say, you know, the movie doesn't really show she has any real interest in things. Like her personality, because she is like plucked up at such a young age, she doesn't really have much of a personality at that point. Like she doesn't really settle down on like who she is as a person. So I think that's almost like he wants someone to have no personality. That's why he probably picked someone who didn't really have one, so they could take interest in his stuff.
And hopefully manipulating her, grooming her into having only his personality and, you know, interests be hers. But as she grows up and as she matures, we do see some of her interests and we do see her own personalities as she starts to, you know,
become an adult. Yeah. Her frontal lobe starts developing. Yeah. Okay.
And she's like, I don't like this. Like, I don't like any of the stuff that you're seeking. This stuff is strange and it's effect. Yeah. Philosophy fucking
fuck
sucks.
That up.
This Eastern philosophy sucks. And he calls her a mad woman and puts his book away and just immediately, like, you know, belittles her. It's like, no, that's silly. Like, I'm going to do the things that I find interesting. I control myself. And then that later the next day, he's on the phone with, I think, the colonel. And the colonel's like, throw away all of those philosophy books. I don't want you reading philosophy. And he goes, all right, colonel, I'll do it. I know, it's a distraction. And he ends up burning all of his books.
So when, you know, she says, like, I don't like this. This is not interesting. But the colonel says he's like, okay. Yeah, trickle down abuse.
Exactly. Yep. So then later on, a couple days later, he proposes to her. And they get married. It's a very small ceremony.
It's in Vegas?
And then they lay in. No, it's in Graceland.
Oh, sure.
It's very small. It's a very small ceremony. And they end up lying in bed together. And they start. Now they can make it legal.
Yeah.
I guess. And then they cut to another pool party.
She's
got
to be 18 by now.
And, yeah, I don't know. Well, he did say he's I got to wait.
Yeah, that's
probably
he was waiting until she was 18.
It was legal.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, yeah, another pool party. The Beatles are starting to become big, and he doesn't want to listen to them because this is America, damn it. He doesn't want to listen to British music.
Oh, man, I didn't even think about that.
And then Priscilla comes home, and she's pregnant, but she's very scared because she's like, it's so soon, you know?
Yeah.
And he's like, she's like, what about all the things we were going to do with our lives? We're going to go travel. We were going to see the world. Like, we can't just put all that stuff on hold. You know, we have to put that stuff on hold now that I'm pregnant, you know?
Yeah.
And he's just like, yeah, we'll just do it later because it doesn't matter to him, right? It's like none of that shit. Like, he's not the one that's pregnant.
Yeah.
He doesn't have to deal with that stuff. And so, and it's also like, not only is it soon, like, she's so tiny. Like, later on, when she's like really pregnant, she has like a full belly, she goes and weighs herself and she's only 130 pounds with a baby.
So tiny.
I know. So, yeah, Priscilla is very pregnant. And then as she's pregnant, she sees a photo of Elvis off making another movie with Nancy Sinatra and they're kissing on the front page of the newspaper. And rather than confront him, she just sort of folds the newspaper up and puts it away.
Oh.
Like, now she has to sort of, she knows what happens when she confronts him now. She has to sort of like put that stuff away and like hide it away, basically. So then Elvis is like, hey, honey, can you come in this room? I want to talk to you real quick. So she goes in this room. He's like smoking and like in the corner, all dark. And he's like, here's the thing, honey. I feel like things haven't been working out. And I think we need to spend some time apart.
Uh-oh.
She is pregnant. She is pregnant. Yeah. And he's just like, I think we need to take a break. And he's like, we've been going through things. We need a break. And she says, okay, tell me when to leave and I'll leave. And then she leaves the room. And as she walks away, you hear him in the other room going like, Priscilla, I was just joking. I'm sorry. I'm lying. I didn't mean that. I take it back. So now she knows how to sort of like take control over the situation now. Which is, it's like, if you're going to treat me this way, I'm not going to fawn over you anymore. You know, like everyone else. Well, every other girl does this. I'm not going to do that anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, I can't do that. A couple days later, a couple mornings later, they are still together. It seems they're in bed together, and Priscilla wakes up and she says that the baby's coming, and she wakes Elvis up, And he's just like, he gets on the phone, calls all the boys. He's like, get the car. We got to take Priscilla to the hospital. And while everyone's getting the car together and getting everything ready for the hospital, Priscilla is putting on makeup and putting on like big fake eyelashes. And getting
ready. I think this is probably going to be the opening of the movie.
Oh, is it?
I don't know. What'd the carpet look like?
I didn't see the carpet, but it probably, we don't see the carpet. It's probably for the beginning of the movie, but it's this kind of horrifying thing, which I was watching this with my wife and she was just like, yeah, sometimes, you know, yeah, women will, you know, do makeup before going into the, you know, because if you're going to get photos or whatever of yourself, you want to, but she has to do it, one, for Elvis, but two, also because after she leaves the hospital, all this press show up taking photos of her and the baby and Elvis, you know, so she has to do it for the press.
Now,
as well.
I don't know if it's true, but if it does match up with the opening of the movie, it's funny because the opening of the movie feels like she's getting ready for some, like, her big debut, her big moment. And if it leads to her giving birth as her big moment, it's kind of like, you know, and she's dressing up for him more so. Yeah. It's kind of more tragic, right? Like, it's much more tragic opening.
Absolutely more tragic. Yeah, it really puts, I mean, it might be because we do hold on her face for quite a while while she's like doing her makeup, so it probably is the opening. I'll never know. So they bring the baby home and someone is of course hired to take care of the baby. She's not gonna, Elvis is definitely not gonna fucking do it, and he no longer is interested in her basically whatsoever. I heard about this. Apparently he only ever wanted to sleep with people who had never given birth, it sounds like.
Oh.
He was a weirdo. Yeah.
Sure.
So his career blows up and he's traveling a lot and Priscilla stays home with young Lisa Marie Presley. And they have a little photo shoot with Lisa. Lisa doesn't really recognize her father at first. And at first it's because we think like, oh, maybe it's because he's been gone for so long, but it's also because he's fucking dressed up like the full Elvis getup. He's got big sunglasses.
Oh, yeah.
His
hair. He's in the reinvention phase or whatever. Yeah.
Yes. And so there's this really horrifying scene where like they're getting a family photo of the three of them with a photo photographer. And it's like a photo with the three, like with Priscilla and their child and Elvis, and Elvis sitting in this like the big fucking throne. And then once the photos are done being taken with the kid, Lisa's taken out of the room. And then the two of them have a photo shoot where he's still in the throne with like a cigar in his mouth and like a cane. And she's like leaning against him in this like uber sexual way. And it's like so like heartless. And then once that photo shoot scene is done, she just like gets up and leaves. Like there doesn't feel to be any sense of connection between
these
two anymore.
It's just for the show. Yeah.
It's horrifying, and they feel very distant. And they're in a car together, and he tells her to lighten up because she just seems really like morose, and he doesn't want to spend time with her while he's in Palm Springs. And so she's like, "All right, I'm going to go to L.A. and hang out with Lisa. Basically, we're going to spend time in L.A. together, and we get to learn a bit more about her. She really, for instance, really enjoys karate, and she is really close with her karate trainer. It seems
okay.
And Elvis is off in Vegas in his penthouse room with a blonde, and he doesn't seem very happy whatsoever. And he does his Vegas show there. And this show was really great because, again, felt like we couldn't shoot in the actual theater, and it felt like we couldn't get a lot of extras. So this shot is shot from behind Elvis, and we just see some silhouettes of an audience, and a light is shooting on him. And so it's clear they probably got like 20 people for the audience, lights, and Jacob Elordi in an Elvis costume, and that's pretty much all they had. Very economical.
Very
filmmaking.
Economical.
Good job, Sophia. Very good job. Yeah. And then Priscilla now seems to be dressing more and more like how she wants to look. She's not her hair has returned to her own normal hair color. She isn't wearing it up anymore. It's down now. Like she's almost unrecognizable because for the entirety of the first half of my half of the movie, she's been dressed up like this creepy doll.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I thought when put all that stuff on. I was like, ugh.
Yeah. And now she just looks like a normal person. Like it's kind of great. Like it's a really like shocking like reveal.
Once you've been de-Elvis pilled, right? Like you go back to a normal
person. Yeah, exactly. And yeah, she just looks how she wants to look now, which is cool. And Elvis, and she's in Vegas now meeting up with people, and Elvis wants her to come up to his room. And so she goes up to his room and she's like, it's odd. He doesn't usually want guests in between shows, you know, usually just wants to be by himself. So she goes up and checks in on him, and he immediately starts crawling on top of her and like forcing himself on her. And yeah, she tells him to stop, and she sort of pushes him off of him, of her. And then she says, I want a divorce. I want to leave. And he's like, you're crazy. You know, he's like, women would dream of the life that I've given you. You can have anything that you want. You know, it's like he doesn't understand why this object is basically not choosing him. Everyone chooses him, basically. Mm. Everyone wants him. And there's this really, really great line where he says, am I losing you to another man? And she says,
you're losing me to a life of my own.
And it's such That's a great good. Line. Like, she's That's finally, good. Yeah. Yeah, she's like, it's not because of anyone else. It's because I am a different person. I'm a human being, and I don't want this life, you know? It's like we are living completely separate lives. We're not really married. Mm-hmm. This is not what we should be like looking for in a life, yeah. basically. And he says, "Maybe another place, another time." And then she leaves, and she goes to Graceland. She packs up. The only people that say goodbye to her are, I'm going to guess, Grandma
Dodger.
And the ladies that work in the office.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Grandma Dodger was and always a real one.
Yeah. And they say goodbye. And she leaves in a car, leaves Graceland to Dolly Parton singing an Elvis song.
Oh, I thought Dolly Parton was in the movie. I was like, whoa.
Dolly Parton's there. And she's like, hey, honey, how's it going?
Time to start your new life.
I think they couldn't use a lot of Elvis music for this movie because of, again, I don't think
it
the Elvis
It did seem like a lot of covers, yeah.
Yeah, so they had Dolly Parton covering Elvis song. And so she's in the car driving away from Graceland, and the last shot is her leaving the gates, and the fans are disappearing in the background, and she gets to live her own life now. And that's the end of the movie.
You know, after watching a few of these movies for Women's History Month, it's nice to have a happy ending, at least, you know?
A happy ending where the character lives, gets to just live her own life.
Seems like probably had a better life than what ended up happening to Elvis. I mean, she's still around, you know, like.
Yeah. Wait, is she? I thought she died.
No, her daughter died.
Oh, Lisa Marie.
Pretty sad. It is another way, but no, she's still alive.
Hmm. Well, good for her.
Yeah. Good for her, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, no, it's a good point. Yeah. It's the only movie we've seen for this month where the main character is still alive and running and kicking.
Yeah. And there's not like an ominous sorrow behind it, but you know, so that's kind of exactly. A nice refreshing ending. I think this movie, it's like, what was that movie, Marriage Story? It was like that, but way more on a less relatable level, I guess, in some ways.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, I quite liked this film a lot. I thought the way it was shot was beautiful.
I like it a lot.
I think the just the directing, the choice of where to put the camera and when to make, like, having the actors act the way they are and spending so much time with just Priscilla in like quiet moments, really, mm-hmm. but not too long, just enough to be like, she's fucking alone, right? Like, there's no one here. She's all alone in Graceland. Things like that really add to the tension and just kind of like the hopelessness you feel for her.
A very powerful, subtle performance by the main actor as well.
Yeah.
Like, I'm very impressed by, I can see why she's in Alien Romulus.
Yeah. She already got chased by one big, tall alien, so, you know.
Yeah, she's coming. Yeah, another one's coming. Yeah, no, I agree. I really enjoyed this movie a lot. It's just so obviously a better movie than Elvis is, that movie Elvis, which is feels more like a meme movie. Like,
the thing is, though, I'll probably watch Elvis again. And
it's a funner movie.
Yeah, it's a much more fun movie. This is a lot heavier.
Yeah, exactly.
But not like overbearingly. I liked it. Not overbearingly heavy either.
No, there's moments of joy, and again, it is a happy ending. Like, she gets to have her own life. You know, there are definitely moments of uncomfort and discomfort and terror, but ultimately, yeah, it's like it's a happy ending. She doesn't get trapped here, and you know, and her abuser ends up fucking dying young. So. That's great. You know,
he loved too much.
What really killed the king was love.
Love.
Yeah, that's what killed him. But no, I really like this a lot. I'm glad we wound up watching it. And I'm a fan of this Sofia Coppola flick. That Sofia Coppola knows how to make a film about women in danger.
Yeah, that is true.
Yeah. Guys, have you ever dated Elvis? email us. Email the other half podcast.com. You get us on Facebook, we're on Instagram, we're on Blue Sky, and we're also on Discord. And if you want to listen to our previous episodes of this Women's History Month film series, you can find them on any podcatching app. And while you're there, please give a 5-star rating and review. We will read it in the show no matter what it says, even if the Elvis estate does not approve of it. We'll read it. Who cares? Please. What do they care?
I would love to read something.
Yeah.
What are they going to do? It's the podcast line. It's lawless. I could use an Elvis song right now to play us out. What are they going to do? Come and sue us? Come get us, folks.
Good night, everybody. Whoa, mama. Whoa, mama.
Falling in love with you. Shall I stay? Would it be a
sin? Would you guys like to discuss the movies that we talked about on the podcast, recommend movies for future episodes, or maybe even watch movies with us? Check out the Discord.
You can find the Discord on the latest episodes or on the website, theotherhalfpodcast.com. We're just hanging out chatting.
And while you're there, maybe also check out the second of the Discord, which is specifically for Ethan's streams on Twitch. You get updates as to when he goes live. Just keep up to date with us, with Ethan, the podcast, and the stream.
It's also totally okay if you just want to hang out and talk about the podcast. You can hang out there and maybe we'll see you there and watch a movie or something.
Or maybe you're like, wow, these streams are so much better and you just totally ignore the podcast. That's also another option.
That could happen.
Why not?
Why not? The Discord is your oyster. Come join us.
The Discord is your oyster. Join it.